Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is the reading of God's word. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us, through your word, hear your loving voice telling us the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. And Father, let us hear your word, always remembering that we are gathered here to worship you. Bless us, let our faith grow, and let us be more and more like your Son. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin our looking at the content of Habakkuk. Last two times it was kind of introduction to this book. Today, this is very important sermon, so I pray that God would give you strength to be awake and listen very carefully. As we have seen, Habakkuk was a prophet of God. He was a mouthpiece of God. He brought God's word to his people, and he was invited to stand before the heavenly council of God, and there he sees God and the eternal kingdom of God and the glorious eternal reality of heaven. There he hears the voice of God telling him the eternal purpose of God. Thus he knows and understands the purpose of God. And there he was recreated into the image of his God and was given God's word and sent by God to his people. Thus, he and all other prophets of God are necessarily God-centered and heaven-centered. And you are also the prophets of God. And all these things already happened to you, spiritually, of course. But nevertheless, these are what happened to you. Now, let's begin our chapter 1 here. Chapter 1 is divided into three sections. In verses 2 to 4, we see Habakkuk's complaints to God. Then in verses 5 through 11, we see God's reply to Habakkuk. And in verses 12 through 17, we see Habakkuk's his second complaints to God. Then in chapter 2, we read about the second reply of God to Habakkuk. And finally, in chapter 3, we see Habakkuk's praise to God. And that change, we see this change in Habakkuk, right? In chapter 1, complaints and changes to praise and thanksgiving in chapter 3. And that change occurs as the prophet moves his focus from this world to the other world, the heavenly world of God. As soon as we realize our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, even though what we really deserve is the eternal punishment of hell, all our complaints vanish. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ indeed changes all our complaints into praise and thanksgiving. There is no complaint in heaven. No one who stands in the glorious sight of our risen Lord and His kingdom will complain. No one who understands and knows what we possess already in Jesus Christ has anything to complain. Thus, chapter 2, verse 4 says, the righteous will live by faith, live by his faith. And this faith is not just a faith that receives and believes Jesus Christ, a faith that trusts and depends on Jesus Christ. Of course, this faith do all that, but it is much more than that. This faith also enables us to go beyond this visible world and enables us to see the heavenly world. This faith witnesses and demonstrates the reality of eternal world of God. And because this heavenly world is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ only spiritually at this time in which we live, we must live by faith. There will be a time when this heavenly reality will be visible. But until then, we have to live by faith. Because we live in terms of what is true in heaven already, because we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, we must live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. And without faith, this glorious life is impossible. We have eternal hope, and we do not forsake this hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 25, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And you could replace that word hope with faith also. If it is already seen, then it's not faith anymore. It's not hope anymore. I mean, you know, believing requires that something that you believe is not seen. I mean, if you say to me that you don't believe something you already see, then all you're saying to me is that you are crazy. So it's by faith that requires that everything that we believe is not seen yet. All those who live in terms of this world, which are visible, they are not living by faith. But the Bible clearly says the righteous will live by his faith. Our hope is not in this world. It is not about possessing this world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. As the citizens of heaven, we do not belong to this world. We are no longer slaves to this sinful world. And we have been saved out of this world and sin. And we have been delivered into the kingdom of our God already. And this is what Habakkuk learns as he moves from chapter 1 to chapter 3. In chapter 1, we meet Habakkuk, who still does not fully understand. And we're not saying he was not Christian at that time, but he still do not fully understand. He complains to God. And let's read verse 2. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear me? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. As we could see here, that prophet has been crying out to God for a long time. It wasn't just, you know, first time he's crying this out. From what he says, it's clear he's been crying out to God for a long time. As we could see, that he believes that God is ignoring his cry. And just like you and me, Habakkuk needs a spiritual lesson from heaven, a lesson from God, and he will get it. Thus, we meet Habakkuk as a new man in chapter 3, changed man. And it's not just improving as a human being, but it's all about his faith growing. Now, but we are still in chapter 1, and we're going to be in chapter 1 for a while. Here in chapter 1, Habakkuk is greatly discouraged and dissatisfied. We hear the same complaints in the world today. And maybe you might be one of them. You know, we hear things like, if God is righteous and holy, if God is almighty and all-knowing, if God really lives, then why do evil things exist in the world? And why God is not doing anything about them? The only satisfying answer can be found in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is trying to find the answer elsewhere, then he will soon realize that nothing really makes any sense, and he will be utterly discouraged. The ultimate purpose of God, brothers and sisters, is not to make this world a better place, but to create another world, the new world, the heavenly world. You must understand the ultimate purpose of God is to destroy this world, not to make this world a better place, ultimately. We must understand that this sinful world is under God's curse. God's ultimate purpose is not to improve this world, but through the union with Jesus Christ, to save us, rescuing us from this world and delivering us to his eternal kingdom, our eternal home, heaven. Thus, the center of Christianity is not about this world. But please don't get me wrong here, because I need to explain a little bit, because when I say these things, people misunderstand. We are not saying that the life we live here on earth is not important. It is very important. But we must understand and believe also that the life we live here on earth is a participation in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have purpose in our lives. We must diligently live a life that clearly demonstrates that we have been indeed rescued from this present evil age. And now we are in Christ, the citizens of God's kingdom, that we are sons of God. We're not like the people who belong to the world. So we must live out lives here, our lives here on earth, to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a different purpose than those who do not believe. So we're not saying, when we say God's ultimate purpose is to destroy this world, we're not saying the life we live here is not important, you could just live however you want. No. But we must live that life in the way that God wants us to live. And it's not about being successful in this world. It's not about anything of this world. Now, let's look at the complaints of Habakkuk. Are they not legitimate complaints? We read it, right? Verse 2 to verse 4. Are they not legitimate complaints? Let me remind you what he said, verses 3 to 4. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. As Habakkuk sees the society in which he lives, it is full of wickedness. Those who are in power, they ignore the law and they oppress the righteous. Wickedness and iniquity are rampant, and oppression and persecutions are great. Destruction and violence are everywhere. In verse 3, we see the words strife and contention. These words are used in a court of a law. Thus, the verse shows us that even in the court of law, it is full of wickedness. Rich and powerful, they get away with anything. For the personal gain, all are ready to destroy one another. The whole nation is full of wickedness. And verse 4, the law is ignored. Literally, the God's law is paralyzed. It has no power. The justice is never upheld, and justice comes out perverted. The prophet says the wicked surround the righteousness. And when you read this, doesn't it sound like what you see today in the nation or the world that you live in? And Habakkuk is angry. Now, don't you think, if all he says is true, and you know it was true and it is still true, don't you think that he has every right to be angry and every right to complain to God? We might say to ourselves, if I was in Habakkuk's shoes, I would be angry also. And I would complain to God myself. In fact, that is how I am right now. Maybe you are angry and dissatisfied, just like Habakkuk. And you could even justify your anger because wickedness is everywhere. Why is not God doing anything about all this evil? As you could see, Habakkuk still does not understand. And if you are the same as Habakkuk, you still don't understand. Remember, the righteous will live by faith. And faith is not about what you see. It's about what you don't see. Why does not God doing anything about all these evil? Habakkuk is bringing a charge against God. Is God failing here? What do you think? Is God failing? Is God unjust? Is God doing evil? Because if you push Habakkuk, ultimately, he is bringing a charge against God. God, you don't know what you're doing. And he believes he has a legitimate complaint because that's what he sees. But you must understand. Because we have to be honest. You and I, we like Habakkuk. It's easy to identify ourselves with Habakkuk. in your anger? Let's analyze this. Habakkuk is bringing a charge against God, but my question is, how about Habakkuk himself? Is not Habakkuk a filthy sinner who only deserves to go to hell forever? Maybe all these complaints, maybe they are coming out from his self-righteousness. Maybe these complaints are coming out from his understanding that he is righteous than other people. Maybe these complaints are coming out from his desire for his selfish gain. Am I better than others? And if I possess wealth and power, am I going to be any better? Do I, as a sinner, have anything good in me? Do I have the ability to be good on my own? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, there are none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for good, seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Can I trust God for protecting my gain, my wealth in this world? If not, then do I need God who cannot protect my wealth and power in this world? What do you say to all this? All your complaints, let us examine. Are they coming out of your disappointment in God not providing and protecting your earthly wealth and power and gain and help? Your complaints, are they coming out from your understanding that you are better than others, that you are more righteous than others? Are your complaints coming out from you not receiving the fame and glory you believe that you deserve, the success that you think you deserve? Are they coming out from you seeing that there are not, things are not going according to your sinful desires? Brothers and sisters, we must be honest here. All your complaints, where are they coming from? Are you disappointed in God because He's not providing, He's not protecting your earthly gains? Or you believe you deserve better because you are better than other people? You're disappointed because God is not giving you fame and the glory you actually believe you deserve. Or you just don't see things going according to your ways, your sinful ways. See, self-righteousness makes us to complain. What do you think you really deserve from God? What is it? What do you think that God must do for you? And why? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I, we are all hypocrites. We pretend this and pretend that. And if it were not for Jesus Christ and his work of salvation, you and I, we have no choice but to continue to live a life that would absolutely lead to eternal destruction. What do you think? How your life will be without Christ? Whatever you might do in your life, what would that lead to? And brothers and sisters, do all these things that I say make you angry? It's always two responses to the gospel. Actually, gospel makes a lot of people angry. But the righteous will live by faith. You must hear this sermon by faith. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, we are able to live the true life, the life eternal, life knowing God and being known by God. Even though we are full of hypocrisy, in Jesus Christ, you and I are received by our God as people who live by the truth. But only in Jesus Christ. Why do these evil things happen? Why does God not do anything about them? What is the use of God who cannot do anything right? I know better than God what must happen in my life. If God asked me, I could tell him what he should be doing in my life. Cannot God handle simple things like providing and protecting my wealth, my health, my business, my family, my country, my life? And if he cannot and will not do all this, then maybe I'm wasting my life serving him. This is what complaints are all about. What do you think God is doing wrong in your life? But our God, see, if I was God, the whole world will be destroyed today. Because I'm not going to stand for this. Here's gracious God. And all I hear is complain. Man, I'll just wipe you guys all out. But thank God, our God is gracious God. He's loving God. He pours out his grace upon Habakkuk, and he pours out his grace upon you and me. Habakkuk realizes later, and he gets it in chapter 3. There, Habakkuk is completely satisfied with God and what God is doing in his life, even though all those things that he was complaining did not change. Well, some things even got worse. And you will see how next week, that God's reply to this complaint that Habakkuk makes is like, Habakkuk says, wickedness. And God's answer is, more wickedness. And yet, Habakkuk gets it. He doesn't complain anymore in chapter 3. He actually praises God. See, you need to get this. If you don't get this, then you don't get the gospel. This is very, very important. Brothers and sisters, God gives you himself. And we must learn how enough God really is. God and God alone. Maybe you don't want God. Maybe what you want is what you believe God could give you. But God himself, you don't care. But brothers and sisters, the gospel is a love story. It's about giving ourselves to God and God giving himself to us. Even in your earthly love life, it's more important that your husband or your wife will give themselves to you, not, you know, just giving all these other things, but their heart, they never give you. How would you like that kind of love? But that is what so many churchgoers want from God. It's not God himself they want, but one, these things that they actually believe God will give them. But when it comes to God himself, who cares? Are you satisfied with God and God alone? Or God has to give you all these other things? Then you will be happy. But God is giving you all these other things, but only in terms of heaven. You must learn how enough God really is. God is our eternal inheritance. His kingdom is our eternal inheritance. By God's grace, Habakkuk realizes how enough God and him alone really is, and he is completely satisfied with God and God alone. Psalm 73, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth." Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Do you understand what they're saying? Do you get it? We too must live by faith. Through faith, we see what we possess forever. We see what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And moreover, unlike Habakkuk, we live in the New Testament time. All has been fulfilled and accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, but see, they are not visible. Maybe that's the problem for you. It's something that you must believe. Do you understand how much you have? Do you understand how much you possess? Just because in this visible things you don't have much, you don't have big house or lots of money, these visible terms, you think you don't have much? Really, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will see how much you possess, how rich you are in Christ. All God's promises are completely fulfilled for you and for me. This is the key. In terms of worldly things, yes, God is not giving us that much. I mean, compared to, you know, the richest people in the world. We're not that successful. We're actually nobody in this world. But you must live by faith, not by sight. You must, even measuring these things, you must do so with faith, not by sight. And do not let anybody judge you according to visible, according to sight. But how God judges you That's how you must judge yourself. You must understand and believe who you are and what Christ has done for you and what he has accomplished for you. It's not visible. That's why it requires faith. But it's not a lie. It's the truth. Actually, what is visible is a lie. Ultimately, it is a lie. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you start your focusing, when you're focusing your eyes upon visible things, then you're going to be Habakkuk chapter 1. You will complain. But when you stand before this glorious risen Lord and you see through your faith your eternal inheritance that he gives you, when you realize how blessed you are, complaints vanish. You must have faith in order for you not to complain. See, the biggest problem, I believe, is this dissatisfaction in people's heart today. Nobody is satisfied. You know, I grew up, it's like that song, right? I can't get no satisfaction. People are just angry and they're dissatisfied and they're just miserable. Brothers and sisters, you are saved out of all that. You know, I lived, now 51 years. It went so fast. And I know I'm not going to live another 50 years, and thank God for that. So, 80, 90 years? It's pretty fast. And this visible world will tempt you only for that short amount of time. After that, this visible will be invisible, and invisible will be visible. Because this visible ultimately will be completely destroyed. Understand what you have. Understand what you possess. Understand who you are and what Christ has done for you. Believe. And I'm not going to judge you by visible measures. Don't let anybody judge you with that. And notice what the center concern of Habakkuk's complaint here is, his earthly country. But for us, our center concern is the heavenly country, which is witnessed through the church. Are you angry for the wickedness that goes on in the church? Are you angry that some churches are selling the gospel for selfish gain? Are you angry that the law of God is ignored even in the church? But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us trust our God who is with us and working in his church. And let us witness our satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Let us, through the life of this church, witness our satisfaction in our God and him alone. Let us witness the reality of heaven, in which there is no complaints. We must witness the abundance of the satisfaction that Jesus Christ has brought to us, and in Jesus Christ, we truly lack nothing. I lack nothing compared to anybody you could bring to me. But until I go to heaven, I cannot show you how much I possess. But I do possess all things. We must witness that satisfaction. Be happy, brothers and sisters, no matter what happens. You have no reason for any anger, any dissatisfaction, if you are in Christ. God told you already, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. That will be provided. See, your problem and my problem is we want more than just something to eat and something to wear and something to drink. That's the problem. But God gave you much, much more. Much, much more than anything this world can give to you. But you must believe at this time, even though you have it, and you are able to use it, and you are able to enjoy it, but it's still not visible. See, brothers and sisters, this is the last thing we want to do. And that is that you will show to other people in this world as you live your life, you will show others that what you have in Jesus Christ, it means nothing to you. And if you live in terms of this material world, and that's what you're doing, you're showing to other people that all these things that Christ has accomplished, it's just nothing to you. Unless you have earthly possession, it means nothing to you. The victory, the success that Jesus Christ has brought to us, don't show to other people that those things are not precious to you. Brothers and sisters, let me end this. We must witness that what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us is indeed enough for us, and not only in heaven, but even now. We must witness that with Christ, you and I have crucified all our dissatisfactions and all our complaints to the cross. The last complaint in Christianity has been made by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And through the resurrection of our Lord, all our complaints vanished. No more whys. All complaints in Christianity ended with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and with resurrection of Jesus Christ, only praises and thanksgivings remain. All these complaints, ultimately you could translate all your complaints into this, why have you forsaken me? That is what you're saying. Yes, it's different in degree, but that's what you're saying. Why have you forsaken me? Isn't that what your complaints are all about? Because if you did not forsake me, if you still love me, you will do all this for me. You will give me all this for me. Isn't that what your complaint is all about? It feels like God has given you up, that he forsaken you. But brothers and sisters, he never did and he never will. And the last complaint of Christianity has uttered already, so no more complaints in our religion. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, who is the King of whole universe. I mean, think about this. Jesus, what was he lacking when he was with his Father in that glorious realm? But Jesus Christ humbled himself to a place of complaints. That he identified with you in this. That he himself, God himself, had to complain. He humbled himself to that place for you. So that you don't have to complain anymore. Do you understand the gospel? In Jesus Christ, you and I have been resurrected with Christ to a new life, the life everlasting, the life of everlasting perfect satisfaction. Through faith, see what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. See what is true of you and me now and forever. See how we will live forever and ever with complete and perfect satisfaction with our God. Do you see yourself who are completely and perfectly satisfied forever and ever? This is who you are forever. Go witness that reality. That reality has already accomplished. Brothers and sisters, this is how we're going to be. We're going to be completely satisfied forever. And God already made us to be that person. That people of God who, without complaint. Oh, brothers and sisters, as you read Habakkuk, understand the flow of redemptive history of God. Yes, we have complaints, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, no more. And it's not just you have to, you know, do something to accomplish this, but you must believe. Yes, time to time, because of our weakness, our sinfulness, all that, we'll complain, you know, in our lives. But I pray by the grace of God that you will quickly understand the gospel, quickly be reminded of the gospel, so that you will complain, will vanish. That's why I said in the very beginning that our everyday life is this flow. Chapter 1 through chapter 3. In the morning, you get up and there's so many problems and so many complaints. But as soon as you open the Bible and understand the gospel, then the chapter 3 life begins the rest of your day. So that by the time you go to bed, there will be only praises and thanksgiving. This is your life. To our God be praise now and forever. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the satisfaction you fill our hearts with. We thank you for giving us this blessing We are satisfied with Christ and Christ alone. And let us, by your grace, witness that satisfaction. Let us understand clearly the last complaint of Christianity has already been uttered. And with the resurrection of Christ, there is no more complaints for your people. All has been given, all has been accomplished. Oh, Father, bless us. Let us live by faith, not by sight. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.